Hello, Father Mark Georges here again. We're reading Introduction to Anthropology of Integration. It's day four, let's dive in. A second core feature of the anthropology outlined here is the aspect of integration. A simple analogy can help to illustrate its importance. A vessel such as a boat, for example, needs a good engine if it is to go anywhere. In anthropology, this would be the emotions. Without desire or drive, a person can hardly get going to accomplish anything. They may get a push from the outside and manage on inertia for a while, but their activity quickly grinds to a halt if there is no desire. A well-tuned engine, however, is not enough for a vessel to be useful. There needs to be a braking system and a navigation system. Without this, the boat or vehicle will just head in the direction it happens to be pointing in, or where the wind and waves happen to nudge it. The outcome would be to get lost or crash. The engine, the braking system, and the navigation system, when they all properly function, enables an integrated action that makes the vessel useful. In our anthropology, if the engine is the emotions, the braking system and navigation system refer to the intelligence and will which give direction to our actions. As with the boat, the emotions, together with the powers of intelligence and will, when they work together properly, enables an integrated action that makes self-realization possible. It was affirmed earlier that the philosophy of man that this document outlines is rooted in what can be called implicit philosophy. During his pontificate, John Paul II wrote an important document for our times entitled Fides et Ratio, where he took up the theme of the relationship between faith and reason. He acknowledged the important contribution that philosophy has for shaping culture, and in that discussion points towards an implicit philosophy. This expression is used in this text in the sense that it was outlined there. The Holy Father wrote, we quote, "Although times change and knowledge increases, It is possible to discern a core philosophical insight within the history of thought as a whole. Consider, for example, the principles of non-contradiction, finality, and causality, as well as the concept of the person as a free and intelligent subject, with the capacity to know God, truth, and goodness. Consider as well certain fundamental moral norms which are shared by all. These are among the indications that beyond different schools of thought, there exists a body of knowledge that may be judged a kind of spiritual heritage of humanity. It is as if we had come upon an implicit philosophy, as a result of which all feel that they possess these principles, albeit in a general and unreflective way. Precisely because they are shared in some measure by all, this knowledge should serve as a kind of reference point for the different philosophical schools. Once reason successfully intuits and formulates the first universal principles of being and correctly draws from them conclusions which are coherent both logically and ethically, then it may be called right reason, or, as the ancients called it, orthos logo, recta ratio." In this work, we have connected implicit philosophy with the Aristotelian Thomistic tradition. The text above shows that there is a broad understanding of the term as well, which is important to anthropology of integration. This broad understanding refers to what is popularly called common sense. It is a knowledge that does not have to do with any particular brilliance, but simply the proper functioning of the intellect in grasping universal truths accessible to all. Even though profound metaphysical concepts will be used in elaborating on an integrative approach to man, this anthropology is proposed as a rational development of what is intuitive, natural, and accessible to all when there is a minimum of interior freedom and proper education in values and virtues. In one of his writings, Chesterton considers the question of whether jury duty should be taken away from the common man and given to experts. He convincingly shows how Western civilization stands on implicit philosophy in entrusting serious crime cases to a selection of common men and women. our civilization has decided, and very justly decided, he writes, that determining the guilt or innocence of men is a thing too important to be trusted to trained men. Better than this awful matter be left to those who know more law than I know, but who can feel the things that I felt in the jury box. We all have the experience of how simple and uneducated people can be wise and mature in their decision-making and choices, perhaps without arriving at them from a rigorous process of reasoning. Anthropology of Integration aims to give a metaphysical grounding to this reality, providing a tool to safeguard and affirm the broad sense of implicit philosophy in our age. This brings us to the end of the introduction. We use a simple analogy about a vessel, such as a boat that has an engine but needs a braking system and a navigation system, to illustrate the idea of integration, even though we will show later on that the idea of notion of integration is actually much richer. We also went on to speak about implicit philosophy, that this is John Paul II spoke of implicit philosophy as belonging to what we can see in a broader sense, common sense. This work is linked to this implicit philosophy, which is also connected to the Aristotelian Thomistic tradition, which developed it in a more philosophical and a systematic way. Finally, we introduce an example from Chesterton to show how common sense is the parting point for philosophy, for implicit philosophy, which is, as we said, developed later on in by the Aristotelian Thomistic tradition, which is what will be the foundation of this work.